Welcome to the ADI Leak Detection Podcast. I'm here with Dave from ADI Leak Detection, the UK's leading leak detection specialists, who's here to answer your questions and provide expert leak detection advice. Today's question is one that comes up a lot for managing agents and freeholders. What actually happens when a leaseholder refuses to let your team in to carry out leak detection work?
It's a situation we come across fairly regularly, and it causes a lot of frustration because the water's usually already causing damage to neighbouring flats while everyone's waiting for access. The good news is there are clear routes forward, and they almost always start with the lease itself.
So the lease is the first thing to check. What does a typical residential lease actually say about access?
Most well-drafted residential leases include a covenant that obliges the leaseholder to permit access for inspection, repair, and works related to the structure or services of the building. That covenant typically covers the freeholder's representatives, which includes contractors appointed by the managing agent. So ADI's engineers, when appointed by the freeholder or managing agent, generally fall within that definition.
Right, but does the leaseholder know that? I'd imagine plenty of residents just see a stranger at the door and say no.
Exactly, and that's usually what's happening. It's not always bad faith. A lot of residents genuinely don't realise the lease gives the freeholder that right. So the first step is always for the managing agent to write to the leaseholder formally, citing the relevant clause, explaining why access is needed and giving reasonable notice. In non-emergency situations, reasonable notice is typically at least 24 to 48 hours in writing.
And if they still refuse after that formal letter?
Then the freeholder's solicitor can issue a notice making clear that the leaseholder is in breach of the lease covenant. That notice tends to concentrate minds fairly quickly because a leaseholder who refuses access and causes further water damage to neighbouring properties can find themselves liable for those losses. That's a real legal and financial exposure, and solicitors make sure the leaseholder understands it.
So it rarely gets to court then?
Rarely. In my experience, the combination of a formal access notice and a solicitor's letter resolves the vast majority of refusals. Most people don't want the legal and financial consequences of obstructing repair work. What we do see occasionally is a leaseholder who wants to be present during the work, or who wants to appoint their own observer, and honestly, that's completely reasonable, and we accommodate it.
That's a fair point. What about genuinely urgent situations, where water is actively escaping and damaging the property below right now?
Emergency access is treated differently. Where there's active water damage occurring, the freeholder's right to enter to prevent further damage is much stronger, and the notice period is effectively reduced to whatever is practicable in the circumstances. A managing agent can instruct us to attend. We document the situation thoroughly on arrival, and if access is still refused, we record that refusal. So the leaseholder's liability for ongoing damage is clearly established.
What does ADI actually do differently when you're working in a leasehold building with these access complications compared to a straightforward job?
We coordinate directly with the managing agent rather than approaching the leaseholder cold, because that framing matters. When a resident hears from their managing agent first, they're far more likely to cooperate. We also make sure we can explain clearly what the detection process involves: acoustic leak detection equipment, thermal imaging cameras, tracer gas for tracing leaks under solid floors. When residents understand we're not ripping up their flat on a hunch but using non-invasive methods to pinpoint the source, that reassurance often unlocks access on its own.
That's a really practical point. So communication about the methods themselves can actually resolve the standoff.
It does, more often than people expect. A lot of refusals come down to anxiety about disruption. When we explain that acoustic detection equipment listens through floors and walls without any excavation, or that thermal imaging traces escaping water through a building's surfaces without any physical intrusion at all, the conversation changes. The legal routes are there if needed, but good communication and a clear explanation of what leak detection actually involves is always the first tool.
Dave, really useful stuff. Thanks for walking us through that. If you're a freeholder, managing agent, or a leaseholder, dealing with a disputed access situation around water leak detection. ADI Leak Detection are a well-established name across the UK in this field. Their engineers carry the equipment and the experience to handle complex leasehold buildings. You can find them at adr.co.uk.